Check, check, check.
I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright. And this is
check.
The Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am Bill Courtwright, and I am here with the super millennial, David Barreto. How you doing today, David?
I'm doing good.
So it's Friday.
It's Friday.
We haven't had a Friday in a while, right? Think about it, because we did throwback last week and the week before.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So it's good to be back. So this week, our topic is letting go of expectation. And David kicked it off on Mondays with the Super Millennial with his episode, Don't Expect Anything. On Health Huddles, we talked on what is the block in building new habits. In Meeting of the Minds, we discussed the energy of expectation. And yesterday's Connection Thursday, we replayed an interview that I did on Midlife Mastery Podcast with Brock Edwards, and it was on the difference between stress mastery and stress management. And today, we continue our book study of Ryan Holiday's Stillness is the Key. We are down to the next to the last episode of this book.
That's a bittersweet moment.
It's good, but the new book, you guys are going to like this new book a lot. I've gotten great feedback from people that are reading it now.
Yeah, me.
You're one of them.
It's a good book so far.
You're one of them, so I think you guys will like it very much. In fact, next week, Friday, we will end the book. It'll also be our 1,000th episode.
You know how much time that is?
Yeah, so that's
I'm sorry.
That's a lot of hours, a lot of content, and I hope you guys are growing from it.
You know what's crazy? That there's actually, I know people that have listened to all, like Marcy, I know you've listened from episode
one.
I'm sorry, I guess.
Yes. So we'll have some things for you then next week to talk about them and stuff like that, so... It's a milestone. That's a big milestone for us. The only one that I know that has done that is J.B. Glossinger. And he's 10,000 or something. He really is a maverick.
He is
a maverick in this. And he was my mentor in this, too. And the one thing I'll tell you, for those that start podcasts out there, it's consistency and staying with it. Too many people quit their podcast too early.
Yeah, right at a tipping point most of the time, too.
And the thing is, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm never going to discount the work, but if you're worried about the numbers, then don't start a podcast.
Yeah, you failed before you started.
Yep, that's like Brock's new podcast that we were on yesterday. I think he's going to do great with it.
Yeah.
But you just got to keep putting it out there, and it will catch fire, believe me. We were number one in Kazakhstan. How do you say it?
Kazakhstan. Yeah, you saw that, right?
That's crazy, right? That's a
hey,
weird...
Hey, for whoever's listening, because obviously you're listening right yes. now, we appreciate you.
Yes, we really do.
That was different.
So we are in the section, as we're coming to the end of Ryan's book, it's called Act Bravely. And it opens up with, to see people who will notice a need in the world and do something about it, those are my heroes. Fred Rogers. In Kanye's final novel, The Fall, his narrator, Clements, is walking alone on the street in Amsterdam when he hears what sounds like a woman falling into the water. He's not totally certain that's what he heard, but mostly, riding the high of a nice evening with his mistress, he does not want to be bothered, and so he continues on. A respected lawyer with a reputation as a person of great virtue in the community, Clements returns to his normal life the following day and attempts to forget the sounds he heard. He continues to represent clients and entertain his friends with persuasive political arguments, as he always has. Yet he begins to feel off. One day, after a triumphant appearance in court arguing for a blind client, Clements gets the feeling he is being mocked and laughed at by a group of strangers he can't quite locate. Later, approaching a stalled motorist at an intersection, he is unexpectedly insulted and then assaulted. These encounters are unrelated, but they contribute to a weakening of the illusions he has long held about himself. It is not with the epiphany or from a blow to the head that the monstrous truth of what he has done becomes clear. It is a slow, creeping realization that comes to Clements that suddenly and irrevocably changes his self-perception. That night on the canal, he shrugged off a chance to save someone from committing suicide. This realization is Clements's undoing and the central focus of the book. Forced to see the hollowness of his pretensions and the shame of his fallings, he unravels. He had believed he was a good man, but when the moment, indeed moments, called for goodness, he slunk off into the night. It's a thought that haunts him incessantly. As he walks the streets at night, the cry of that woman, the one he ignored so many years ago, never ceases to torment him. He toys with him too, because his only hope of redemption is that he might hear it again in real life and then seize the opportunity to dive in and save someone from the bottom of the canal. It's too late. He has failed. He will never be at peace again. The story is fictional, of course, but a deeply incisive one, written, not coincidentally, in the aftermath of an incredible moral failings of Europe in the Second World War. Camus' message to the reader pierces us like the scream of the woman in Clements' memory. High-minded thoughts and inner works are one thing, but all that matters is what you do. The health of our spiritual ideals depends on what we do with our bodies in moments of truth. It is worth comparing the agony and torture of Clements with a more recent example of another French philosopher, Anne Dufour Mental, who died in 2017 at age 53, rushing into the surf to save two drowning children who were not her own. In her writing, Anne had spoken often of risk, saying that it was impossible to live life without risk, and that in fact, life is risk. It is this presence of danger, she once said in an interview, that we are gifted with a strong incentive for action, dedication, and surpassing oneself. And when, on the beach in Saint-Tropez, she was faced with a moment of danger and risk, an opportunity to turn away or to do good, she committed to the full measure of devotion to her ideals. What is better, to live as a coward or die as a hero? To fall woefully short of what you know to be right or fall in line of duty? And which is moral nature? To refuse a call from your fellow humans or to dive in bravely and help them when they need you? Stillness is not an excuse to withdraw from the affairs of the world. Quite the opposite. It's a tool to let you do more good for more people. Neither the Buddhists nor the Stoics believed in what has come to be called original sin, that we are fallen and flawed and broken species. On the contrary, they believe we were born good. To them, the phrase be natural was the same as do the right thing. For Aristotle, virtue wasn't just something contained in the soul. It was how we lived. It was what we did. He called this eudaimonia, human flourishing. A person who makes selfish choices or acts contrary to their conscience will never be at peace. A person who sits back while others suffer or struggle will never feel good or feel that they are enough, no matter how much they accomplish or how impressive their reputation may be. A person who does good regularly will feel good. A person who contributes to their community will feel like they are part of one. A person who puts their body to good use, volunteering, protecting, serving, standing up for, will not need to treat it like an amusement park to get some thrills. Virtue is not an abstract notion. We are not clearing our minds and separating the essentials from the inessential for the purposes of a parlor trick. Nor are we improving ourselves so that we can get richer and more powerful. We are doing it to live better and be better. Every person we meet and every situation we find ourselves in is an opportunity to prove that. It is the old Boy Scout motto, do a good turn daily. Some good turns are big, like saving a life or protecting the environment, but good turns also can be small. Scouts are taught like a thoughtful gesture, mowing a neighbor's lawn, calling 911 when you see something amiss, holding open a door, making a friend with a new kid at school. It's the brave who do these things. It's the people who do these things who make the world worth living in. Marcus Aurelius spoke of moving from one unselfish action to another. Only there, he said, can we find delight and stillness. In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, says that those who do right will be made fully by God. Too many believers seem to think that belief is enough. How many people who claim to be of this religion or that one, if caught and investigated, would be found guilty of living the tenets of love and charity and selflessness? Action is what matters. Pick up the phone and make a call to tell someone what they mean to you. Share your wealth. Run for office. Pick up the trash you see on the ground. Step in when someone is being bullied. Step in even if you're scared, even if you might get hurt. Tell the truth. Maintain your vows. Keep your word. Stretch out a hand to someone who has fallen. Stretch out a hand to someone who has fallen. Do the hard good deeds. You must do the thing you cannot do, Eleanor Roosevelt said. It will be scary. It won't always be easy. But know that what is on the other side of goodness is true stillness. Think of Dorothy Day and indeed many other less famous Catholic nuns who worked themselves to the bone helping other people. While they may have lacked for physical possessions and wealth, they found great comfort in seeing shelters they had provided and the self-respect they had restored for people whom society had cast aside. Let us compare that to the anxiety of the helicopter parent who think of nothing but which preschool to enroll their toddler in, or the embezzling business partner who is in just one audit away from getting caught. Compare that to the nagging insecurity we feel knowing that we are not living the way we should, or that we are not doing enough for other people. If you see fraud and do not say fraud, the philosopher Nassim Taleb had said, you are a fraud. Worse, you will feel like a fraud, and you will never feel proud or happy or confident. Will we fall short of our own standards? Yes. When this happens, we don't need to whip ourselves as Clements did. We must simply let it instruct and teach us as all injuries do. That's why 12-step groups ask their members to be of service as part of the recovery. Not because good deeds can undo the past, but because they help get us out of our heads and in the process help us write the script for a better future. If we want to be good and feel good, we have to do good. There is no escaping this. Dive in when you hear the cry for help. Reach out when you see the need. Do kindness where you can, because you'll have to find a way to live with yourself if you don't. Super Millennial.
I think this is a good chapter to kind of end this week on, especially with all the craziness.
With this week, this chapter is a good chapter.
I think it's a great one. Yeah. In the beginning, I think it touches on expectations pretty well, especially with saying like, you know, or do I fail again when he hears like the girls' noises, this kind of thing. I think that's a good one because perception always screws up somebody's intentions and creates the expectation. But I also think the fraud is a fraud for not calling out fraud is such a big... Powerful. And right now, if you could sit here and kind of think about the same thing, because everybody's calling somebody a fraud nowadays.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to... We're not on either side of the fence, but I'm just saying, I think that's a big one, especially when you look into personal development realm. You're preaching this, you're preaching that, and then what are you doing behind the scenes?
Exactly.
If you can call someone out, you better be able to call yourself out, you know, at the same time.
And so you understand that belief is nothing without experience, mm-hmm. right? And that's what Ryan's teaching here. You have to create experiences. You can't say, I believe this and never do anything to create the experience for it, the action of it. And that's what he's talking about, is taking action. I'm working with one of our coaches, right? And the thing he's working on this year is integrity. And I ask him, what is integrity? He says, well, it's doing what you say you're going to do. Well, yes, that's integrity. Because integrity is, when we look at the minds, when we connect that cage mind to the creation mind, creating a mastermind is integrity of behavior. And so basically, I asked him, so what are you doing to act in integrity? Well, I'm trying, but I'm so overwhelmed. And I just kind of chuckled to myself. I go, okay, because if you're overwhelmed, you're not acting in integrity. It's impossible. Yeah. You're not doing what you say you're going to do. That's why you're overwhelmed.
Yeah, and for me, that was, 2 years ago, I think, when I said that was going to be my big thing, is do what I'm going to say I'm going to do. But it kind of taught me a different skill, because when I wasn't able to, because life happens, I was able to call myself out on it. And I was having integrity for myself, saying, you know what, you messed up on this one. And it's being accountable for your actions when nobody else, like, I would call myself out on things that I didn't tell anybody about. I said, hey, I'm gonna do this tonight. Nobody's there, so I could easily not do it. But the integrity for me was to call myself out when nobody else was watching.
That's a skill and a habit. When you build it, it'll change your life forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the only one that can really call you out is yourself, right? Yeah. And so when we look at right now, with everything going on, we need to help each other more than ever. People are hurting. People are lost. They're confused, right? And I will tell you this. Listen, I had some feelings about what happened. I'm a veteran, and I've lived around the world, and I had some feelings. Now, with that being said, I don't sit there and need to beat everybody up, and I don't need to harp on it. I don't need to talk about it anymore. I don't need to fight with anybody. I don't need to take sides. I'm not going to. I just know that we have to help other people. We have to help other people to get out of this, because if we continue, I posted a video by Bruce Lipton, and Bruce Lipton is like the father of epigenetics, and he's talking about how we're programmed. And everything that we teach here, you know, Aristotle said it, you know, give me a child until he's age 7 and I'll show you the man. Mm-hmm. We are programmed, and our behavior, 95% comes from that programming. The human being is hardwired for behavior. We have to understand that if we have behavior that does not serve us or those around us, that's what Ryan's talking about acting bravely. Are you willing to do what it takes to create the integrity to change the behavior of yourself? It's not about you changing somebody else's behavior. You can't do that. Integrity is about changing your behavior. You know, it's write your script on how you desire to be, and then work at it. Because I guarantee you will fall on your ass. Well, if you can call yourself out, if you can be brave, if you can call yourself, wow, I was a fraud. I'm a fraud. I need to correct that. I guarantee you can change. This year could be your greatest year ever. It really can. But if you are in what we talked about this week, expectation that this is going to be a great year, or that the world's going to change because we have a new administration come in, we have this. It's not. It doesn't change if you don't change. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It really is. You could change now, or you could be a victim now. It really is a choice. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think having the integrity of your emotions and your thoughts, being able to be accountable for that is a big thing. I think that's kind of what happened this week. Is there was no integrity or accountability for one's emotion. I get it. You know, if something's going to drive you to do something like that, you are hurting. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say that you're hurting. No matter what side you stand on, you're hurting. For you to take an action like that. But there's a difference between hurting and lashing out, which was what happened, and having integrity and be able to, okay, I'm mad, I'm sad, I'm upset, and this is what I'm going to do about it in the correct way. Because, you know, there's right and wrong ways for everything. And if you can't say that, oh, I did something wrong, or you're just going to say, no, this is right because you did wrong, you're both wrong.
And understand, there's injustice. Mm-hmm. This incident that happened showed a major injustice in our country. And know? And I don't need to harp on it. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So the question is, how do we fix that? We mm-hmm. fix it by fixing ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to fix ourselves. We have to change our message. We have to change our actions. We have to change our behaviors. When we do that, we can change the world overnight. You understand? That's so important to understand. And this year, as we're recording this, we're in 1 week into the new year. And I have never seen a year where more people are upset and disrupted as I have this year. I see it a lot in personal development because we come in with expectations and then a new year gets here and it slaps us in the face because we think it's going to be so much better and it just is what it is, right? But this year,
it's a sequel.
People can't get their legs under them to get momentum. And that's what we're talking about next week.
Well, I think the thing is that people do have momentum. It's in the wrong way.
Yeah.
People didn't let go of 2020 yet. They're literally doing the same.
The calendar's not ready to go for you, right?
It's right on their back and they brought it in this year. And that's what you said. It's the same thing with focus. You're always focused on something. You always have momentum. Which way are you going, though?
And that's what our next week, our topic is building. What is it? Building your momentum. Uh-huh. To get out of that. And so if you were part of that 90-day challenge, you set your goals. I talked to a guy, too. Set the goals. And he's overwhelmed. Well, did you set your goals? Yes. Did you put your plan together? Yes. Are you executing your plan? Well, no.
That's why you're overwhelmed. I love the part about the 90-day challenge is that it's over.
Yes.
But everyone still checks in.
They have momentum.
They're not stopping.
I saw that. I was very impressed.
It proves a very easy point.
I was very impressed. And what David's talking about for those new listeners is in our community, Coach Lee put out a 90-day challenge that was fantastic. And quite a few people took it and they have to check in with their Green Focus Power.
I didn't have to fire nobody.
So I'm telling you, that's amazing. That is really, truly, you guys deserve a...
Yeah, for sure.
Seriously.
It's not an obligation. That's the thing.
No.
It's like we didn't say you have to do it. If you want to, you do it. Yep. And we're well past the 90 days now. And
so
we're still checking in.
And we look at change, right? If you want to change your behavior, you must change your programming, and you want to build skills that support your growth. So that's what the Green Focus Power Hour, step 5 of Stress Mastery is at Green Focus Power Hour. And it does two important things. One, it sets your day. That's a skill. You want that to be a habit. Mm-hmm. But it also is teaching you 6 very specific skills that help you maintain the growth focus of the green zone. So that's skills that you're learning in a Green Focus Power Hour. People don't realize that they are until they realize, wow, I read now and I journal and I do affirmations and I visualize.
It becomes a part of them.
I meditate. It becomes part of them because you have built, those are skills.
Yeah.
Skills are habits. And so what we want to do in this new year is we want you to release the blocks to awareness. So if we look at our state, the human being, you're either in, as a human, event, judgment, reaction, or you're in event, awareness, and response. What you saw in the news last few days, that is reaction. Because people are stuck in judgment and their perception, and they believe they're right. They're fighting for what they believe is right, and it doesn't matter who they hurt, and who they're hurting is themselves.
Yeah.
So what we want you this year to teach is to remove those blocks of awareness, because those are activated programs. All behavior, all negative energy is absolutely a program. And when that goes off, that creates the conflict. We can remove those. You guys have the power to remove those. Those in the Stress Mastery community, take a look at that video by Bruce Lipton. He's explaining exactly what I'm talking about. Those that are not in the Stress Mastery community, I don't remember where I got it from, Dave, but I think it was the school videos, SKOOL. And just type that in and put in Bruce Lipton, and it will come up.
Or you could join the community and check it out for free. Made it free, man. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell him either. You have anything else?
I'm good.
So next week, we're going to hit 1,000. Plus, I got a very special interview next week, too, I didn't tell you about.
That you didn't tell me about?
Nope, not going to tell you. That's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by simply Like, share, and subscribe. Those links are right below the show. As David said, if you're interested in checking out the Stress Mastery community, which has all the modules and everything that we're teaching here that you hear us talk about, the link is right in those show notes. Click on, come in. It's 30 days free. You can explore. You can meet people, meet the coaches, and see if this is something that will work for you for 2021. As always. Wow, that was sore. That was bad. Try that again. I've been talking a lot.
Yeah, all day.
As always, until next time.
Stay inspired.